Well, here we are, you guys. Donald Trump is now the presumptive GOP nominee for president again for a third time, despite the fact that he's a twice impeached, four-time criminal indictee and racist who's been found liable for fraud and sexual abuse, banned from doing business in the state of New York for 3 years, owes over $500 million in fine, took millions from foreign governments while he was president, tried to extort a foreign country to interfere in an election in 2020, and encouraged another to help him win in 2016, actively undermined the nation's response to a once-in-a-lifetime pandemic and let a deadly disease spiral out of control. It's about to go on trial for breaking campaign finance laws by paying hush money to cover up an affair during the 2016 campaign. Orchestrated a months-long coup attempt that culminated in a violent insurrection to disrupt the peaceful transfer of power and install him as an unelected dictator. Stole classified documents and obstructed attempts to get them back. Has never once won the popular vote and has been routinely rejected by a majority of Americans in election after election. Spews deranged conspiracy theories about everything from climate change to immigration to vaccines to windmills. Glitches on three-syllable words, two-syllable words, and one-syllable words. Cheats at golf. Can't spell his own name, his wife's name, or the words indicted, education, unprecedented, stolen, Denmark, Kentucky, or tap. And is, on top of everything else, the single weirdest and most off-putting human being on the face of the planet. And this is the same planet Ted Cruz lives on, so that's saying something.
Pick a window.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful sweary.
And now...
Hey, Rocky, watch me pull a rabbit out of my hat.
Again?
Rocking up my sleeve. Presto! No doubt about it. I gotta get another hat.
Now here's something we hope you'll really like.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-faced, dickhead, asshole!
Welcome to the world's greatest political podcast. This week in studio, via the internet, we have Taylor Stapleton.
Hello.
Comedian extraordinaire.
Yeah.
You're back at it, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm back at on that bullshit, kind of.
You just won't tell me where you're doing it yet.
Not doing much anymore, or still.
Okay.
Making friends in it to get the bigger things.
No, I think that's great. Like I said, you're one of my favorite comics in this region, let alone this state, but this region.
Yeah.
It's like you, Taylor Tomlinson, Kyle Kinane. Those are my top three right there. But yeah, and J.C. Carter from the World's Greatest Comic Book Podcast.
Hello. Not a stand-up comedian. No.
That is true. That is true. I honestly don't think you'd handle hecklers very well, sir. Well, if you don't like it, get the fuck out. Like that.
Yeah. Shut the fuck up and let me talk, asshole.
But we're at a bachelorette party. Show us your cock.
Fuck off. I'm the one talking.
No, you can't see my cock. I was at Piper Down for something, and I was in my kilt, and there was a bachelorette party going there, and it's, look, when women are like, men are pigs, you're right. You are absolutely right. But a bunch of drunk girls around a guy wearing a skirt. You know what? I know where you learned that behavior. I'm like, wow. But again, much like with racism, when I cut my hair, you know, when I'm not wearing the kilt, Trust me, ladies do not bother me. Hey, so we're still in the middle of our fundraiser. We had some people this week that helped out. I would like to say thank you to everybody that's helped out so far. Between you guys and the Patreon folks, you know, things are getting taken care of. I don't think that I think we're going to make it. I don't know why. I just have optimism, and I never have optimism, so it feels kind of funny. But I just have a feeling that this is going to pick up some momentum in the next couple of weeks, because I'm only doing this for two more weeks. But what we're trying to do is build a studio where we can do, you know, all the podcasts, do more podcasts, do podcasts for other people, help charities and nonprofits build out, you know, what they need to move forward with their fundraising, candidates, things like that. I mean, it's a big year. I feel like we can pull this off if we really try. And so for those of you that have dug in deep to help out, I appreciate it. We're going to talk about the Biden economy. And more on this episode. But you know, it's, I plan on putting whatever I get back from my taxes, into this as well. Just so you guys know, I got more skin in the game than just time. I do spend a small bloody fortune every year keeping these shows on, but between you guys and Patreon, you're really helping us out. So thank you very much. The only other thing that I can ask is if, you know, if you're like me and the Biden economy seems to have gone around you, you know, rate and review, will you?
And like you and then me and then JC.
Yeah. Yep.
Just like, what's up, guys?
Yeah, the Biden economy just sort of took a detour.
Good. I feel like self-love show.
I feel like I'm in like a jet stream or something where it just keeps tumbling me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, wait, I'm back to work, but only for 30 days. Oh, fuck. Here we go.
I am economic flotsam.
Yeah. I am the driftwood on the Biden wave, basically. I just get knocked all over the fucking place. Yeah.
Okay. I need to complain about an interview.
Okay.
Please do.
Okay, so it's called File Vine. They're up in Utah. They're in Sugar House Park.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all, it's 2024. Can we just, like, remember that why I tell this story?
Yes.
They want me. They want to, their pay was, like, under what I want, but I need a job. But they want people in office Monday through Friday, 8 to 5.
What is this? The 60s?
Why?
Forcing people to take a lunch. Otherwise, they're working more than 40 hours. And I said, well, look, I have a kid. She's my priority. I drop her off at school. I pick her up at 2:30. I'm like, so I would. And they're like, you know, well, like some people are able to do that. Like, let me get back to you. I'm like, okay, that's fine. Fully thinking in my head, this isn't going to work anyway. Because they have 8 to 5. I have a disability that I don't like to take advantage of, but I have used it in the past where it's my bipolar disorder. Like, you have to make accommodations for me to work at home because I have bipolar disorder. I don't like to use it because I feel like I've taken advantage of the system, but I have used it. But they're like, you could just log back on when you're done picking up your daughter. Now you fucking log back on.
Huh?
That's not the finishing point.
Oh.
So I meet with the recruiter. The recruiter's like, this is great. Like, they want to go the next steps. The next step is a communication plan. And I have to write up a whole communication plan off of this stuff they give me.
Nope.
This is 2-3 hours of work.
Nope.
Before a first interview with any of the team.
Yep. Nope.
Nope. Nope. I've just given you free work.
And yeah. I started to think of doing it, and I just, like, was talking to my mom, and she's like, no. I'm like, this is ridiculous. This is free work. I don't know if I want to work there. They don't know if they like me.
They could also just take your plan and not hire you.
Yeah. One time Grayson applied for a job, and they asked him, he was, like, the last two people, and they want to have him write a quarter marketing plan from top to finish, the whole thing. And I'm like,
Jesus Christ.
Marketing team. They didn't have a marketing team at the time. They don't have one. He's like, no. And I'm like, they don't have one though. So they're going to make you do the entire work. What's to say they're not going to take it from you?
Exactly. Yeah.
But like, I was so mad. And so I told her, I'm like, I'm not going to do this if I haven't met anybody. And so they sent, she's like, that's okay. Like, they'll meet you. Like, it took them like a day to get back. And I was supposed to have the interview on Friday. And instead I went and got drinks with my sister.
Oh, there you go.
Because I realized, I'm like, they're just not, like, this is a bad way to set it up. Like, you're forced yep. to go into office. You want me to do a communication plan before I even, like, meet anybody on the team. And also, like,
On top of it, they're going to underpay you.
Yeah. And it's like, you just underpay me. Like, fine, if it's just email marketing, I would take it. But it's also content writing and copywriting. It's like, you know how much of my day that takes?
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is two or three jobs in one person that you're paying about $10,000.
Less than market value.
So, anyway.
I've had that. I've been in interviews and somebody has said, so we have this thing we're doing. How would you design it for our new system? And I look at them and I say, do you want just a couple of examples off the top of my head, or do you want me to bill you? Because I could give you the real answer, but I have to bill you for it.
And there's this other thing, like, I'm doing the hiring manager interview this week, which I'm fine. Like, after I do it with him, then I do a plan, like just a newsletter. I just write a newsletter. That's it.
Right.
And then I meet with him again after to just go like a 10-minute meeting. Just be like, can you explain your thought process through this, and like, let's talk about it. And then meeting with the team. The only problem with that interview is meeting with the team is four separate teammates at four separate times. It's just like, just make one hour-long one, honestly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, do a lunch.
So
we used to, a marketing place I worked years ago, when they would do, it was basically second interview. If the boss liked the person and wanted to see if they'd get along with the team, he'd just buy us all lunch. We'd all sit down for half an hour and get to know one another.
Yeah. You know? I mean, it's not in Utah.
No, that was in Utah.
No, I mean, the other one that I had to.
That one, they're not in Utah, so they can't take you to lunch is what you're saying.
Oh, yeah. I see.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they could send you lunch. We could DoorDash this thing. Come on, we can make a way. Look, I'm just in it for the food. I've told you guys before, the biggest problem, you know, that I would have as an elected official is that the bribery scandal would be pretty fucking boring. passed a bill for a Philly cheesesteak. Like, well, it was a really good cheesesteak.
They literally had me in Philadelphia getting me a cheesesteak.
Yeah. I mean, seriously, I would go down. My scandal would be a double cheeseburger. From someplace ridiculous, it'd be like a fucking double quarter pounder with cheese. I would have just been really hungry that day.
Yeah.
I've done it, you know. I mean, that's all I do. I have questionable logic when it comes to food. You know, it's DoorDash is fucking poison. Oh, those bastards. Those bastards. I mean, seriously, it's not that far to get a baguette, but somebody can bring it to me? Are you kidding? That's great. So, the show. Hey.
I went on a whole ass tangent.
That's okay. It's, you know, we spent so much time talking over you. It's about time you had a segment of the show. It's Taylor time. I'll write up a jingle. It'll be cool. But it is. But you know what? I built the show so we could yap. Trump. Now, usually when we see... I hate the phrase blacks for Trump.
Yeah.
On a t-shirt. It's being worn by old white people.
I love it.
And so it's funny to me that they're like, we need pictures of Trump with black people with a genuine smile. And somebody went, okay. And went to whatever ChatGPT was handy. And they're like, there's no way this happens in real life. So they computer generated images with smiling African-American folks and Trump, but they're AI generated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. BBC Panorama discovered dozens of deep fakes portraying black folks as supporting the former president. Trump has openly courted black voters by saying, there's my black. I just want to point out when he's courting black folks. He's not doing a very good job.
My favorite is still, with all these indictments, black voters must love me. What?
Yep. I've been in prison, no black people must like me.
Exactly.
Yeah. The co-founder of Black Votes Matter, a group that encourages black folks to vote, said the manipulated images were pushing, quote, a strategic narrative, end quote, designed to show Mr. Trump is popular in the black community. A creator of one of the images told the BBC, I'm not claiming it's accurate.
Well, I guess there's that.
I just love him. I love the generated image of him sitting on the stoop with a bunch of dudes. That's just, I'm like, one, that's so obviously fake. Trump would never sit on a stoop.
It is.
So,
and there's no stoop big enough for his fat ass and all these other guys to sit there. That's all I'm saying.
280 or something.
Exactly.
So the images appear to have been made and shared by people in the United States themselves. One of them is some dude named Mark Kay. He's got a team at a conservative radio show in Florida. They created an image of Mr. Trump smiling with his arms around a group of black women at a party and shared it on Facebook, where Mr. Kay has more than 1 million followers. At first, it looks real, but on closer inspection, everyone's skin's a little too shiny, and they're missing fingers on people's hands. Mm-hmm. That's a telltale sign of the AI.
Usually, problem. Yeah.
I'm not a photojournalist, says Mark Kay.
No.
I'm not out there taking pictures of what's really happening. I'm a storyteller. Yeah. No. No.
You're a talk radio host. That means people listen to you and take you seriously.
Yeah. Several users on Facebook appear to believe that the AI image was real. Quote, I'm not claiming it is accurate. I'm not saying, hey, look, Donald Trump was at this party with all these African-American voters. Look how much they love him, he said. But you put the picture out anyway? The big fake picture? Yeah. He says, if anyone's voting one way or another because of one photo they see on a Facebook page, that's a problem with that person, not with the fact that I'm a lying stack of shit. Sorry, I added that part there at the end on accident.
A little editorializing there. Okay.
I tripped. I took a stumble, and the words fell out.
I really think you just said the subtext out loud. That's all. Yeah.
Matt Gaetz is accusing Jack Smith of election interference.
Well,
what?
I mean, from Gaetz's point of view, I guess that's true. We just want to bulldoze Donald Trump back into the White House. We tried to do that on January 6th. We're just going to keep doing it. Yeah.
Did you guys ever notice that when he gets accused of something, his forehead gets bigger?
Yes.
Yes.
And his hair gets bigger, like tall. Like they both get taller.
Yeah. I have noticed that.
Yeah.
I had not yet put it to words, so thank you.
Yeah. That's all. Like, I can't stop thinking about it.
So Mitch McConnell and I guess his wife, he wants us to call her Coco Chow.
Oh,
yeah.
Because it's okie dokie with him if Trump attacks his fucking wife. Are you shitting me? I mean, Mitch McConnell pulls a Ted Cruz and endorsed Trump for president. Keep in mind that McConnell once blamed Trump for the disgraceful attack on January 6, 2021.
But he did not impeach him.
No. Had a chance to fix the problem and passed.
Yeah.
Okay, it's what we talked about last week, is Trump is McConnell's fault.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Twice.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Twice he could have let people vote their conscience.
Yeah.
And I think that the problem would have gone away.
Yeah.
I agree.
But yeah, it's with Nikki Haley out of the race, there's nobody in Trump's way. So McConnell's all, well, I just have no spine anyway.
I like that people, like, they did interviews with people that voted for Nikki Haley saying, well, since she's not the nomination, are you going to vote for Trump? And they're like, no, I'm going to vote for Biden.
I saw some of those, and yep. I saw some of the other ones. They're like, oh, no, I'll vote for Trump. I just needed an alternative.
Yeah.
So, Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona has figured out what she's going to do after she's in the Senate because she is not running again.
That's right.
Yep. Independent Senator Kyrsten Sinema of Arizona announced on Tuesday she won't run for a second term after her estrangement, self-imposed estrangement from the Democratic mm-hmm. Party, left her politically homeless and without a clear path to re-election.
Hmm.
In the end, Sinema's border security ambitions, she was part of the team that put together the bill that Trump sunk,
mm-hmm.
you know, mm-hmm. which I thought was weird, but anyway. Anyway, and her career in Congress was swallowed by the partisanship. No, it isn't. Somebody offered her money to do something else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's it. She'll be a high-powered lobbyist in 5 fucking minutes. And
but
I think we all know it.
It's mm-hmm. not going to last.
No, no. I think she's too squishy. I think she's too wishy-washy. Nobody's going to want her around.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But anyway, Kyrsten Sinema, quitter. Good. Good. And I don't think Joe Manchin's running again either, is he? Let those two go off and start a consulting firm together. I don't care.
He's still in for another 4 years, I think. But yeah, I think he said he wasn't going to run again. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Anyway, that's it for this segment. Let's take a little break and come back with some more election news.
I'm Chris Jakimick. I served in the United States Air Force and I deployed 3 times. Being a veteran, it's interwoven into your DNA. It is really the absence of the connection and the purpose that can really drive a lot of veterans to some negative thoughts. For those who are in a suicidal crisis, the window of time to save somebody's life is very short. Our duty is to protect ourselves and protect our families. And one way you can do that is store your weapons safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Hey folks, Jeff here.
And Taylor.
And Tiffany.
I just wanted to talk to you for a second about Patreon. At Patreon, you get special content every week that we record. We do a show on Patreon just for you, the listener. Now, what do we get in exchange for that? Cash money.
We're not rappers. I don't know what to do that. Cash money. Money rules everything around us.
It really does. It absolutely does. Including the cost to host these shows. That's all this pays for. We don't do anything else fun with it because we still don't make enough in Patreon to cover the cost of hosting the show.
Hmm.
So why don't you join us? It's a lot of fun. We're a little more inappropriate. We're a little more ribald. We're a little more risible.
Sometimes we're a little more high.
Yes.
Definitely more high.
Definitely more high. So join us over at patreon.com/defenmedia. Patreon.com DEFEN Media.
You are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then. Here's some more of that, I suppose.
So, we had a lot of wind last week up here, and I saw a video of a hotel rooftop pool with all of the furniture being blown over the side of the building by the wind last week. How was your scooter rally?
Because it was in Vegas. It was also so windy. I shit you not, my glasses blew off my face.
Nuts.
And I lost them. These are new.
They're very pretty.
I had to buy the exact. I buy the exact same pair, but they flew off my face, and my nose rings, like my chain, ripped out too.
Yikes!
Oh, ow!
So windy, and we did see there's like a side of a building that was like ripped off because it was so windy. It was wild. Scooters got knocked over in the middle of the night. But like nobody's was like heavily damaged. But like
it was crazy.
Crazy wind, but it was fun.
I mean, they don't weigh anything, so you're lucky they didn't get blown across the parking lot or something, you know.
Scooters weigh things because everybody's is vintage. So
they're all made of metal instead of plastic and aluminum.
Instead of plastic and fiberglass, yeah.
I actually got invited to a scooter rally in May. And the guy posted it on my Facebook wall. I had to find it. But it just leads the doors open to more scooter rallies, guys. This is, yeah, his scooter rally that he invited me to. On it, it says classic, not plastic.
Aww. Nice.
That sounds fun. Honestly, if my cousin weren't getting married, I'd go.
Okay.
But she's getting married on fucking Memorial Weekend.
Wait, what?
My cousin's getting married on Memorial Weekend.
Why? Is it so that you don't forget your anniversary?
So you don't forget your anniversary. That was my first thought.
My mom said, it doesn't matter. It's her wedding.
Okay.
I'm like, I guess you've always got a day off for your anniversary weekend.
Oh, 3-day weekend for the good.
But then also,
I mean, it always wouldn't fall on the day of their wedding day, but I mean, it would still be there. So
yeah, we also I met some Brits that were there for the rally, and they guys, I hung out with them so much, and they invited me to they host rallies in the UK and they have one coming up in September, and they said I have a place to stay and a scooter to ride.
Nice.
Did you mention your big burly friend that accompanies you on international travel as a bodyguard?
No, I didn't. Unless you're gonna ride a scooter.
I would ride a fucking scooter. For you, I'll ride a scooter.
It can be cool though. There's like 2,000 to 3,000 people that show up every time because it's in the UK. Everybody rides a fucking scooter.
Yeah, scooters are a European thing. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And be a big one. So I need a job so I can go to this and like ride a scooter. And they're like they're rich.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're wealthy men. I didn't notice because they were just like normal dorky men. But like thinking about it, one of them owned a Lambretta museum.
Jesus.
And I'll own like 4 or 5 scooters each, like classic Lambrettas, which are very expensive.
They're more of the middle class in the UK. We just look, we in America think they're wealthy as hell, but yeah.
I mean, they own houses there.
Oh, with an S? Also. With an S on the end?
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't suppose you shot them over the fundraiser link.
Well, they're really cool guys. Love them.
No, that's great. No, I need a thing like that. I need... You know, I can't go to Sturgis because I'm not a meathead.
Mm-hmm.
Look, I've been to Sturgis. It's full of fucking meatheads. And right now, Sturgis is going to come off like a fucking MAGA rally. You know? So I don't know. It's like I don't ride scooters. I ride motorcycles. But it sounds like scooter people are closer to my kind of people than motorcycle people. I just ride motorcycles because I'm 6'4" and I weigh 280 pounds.
My dad goes to Sturgis every year.
Does he?
It is exactly what you said, though. It's kind of like this whole, not like, actually, it's not that big of a magazine, my mom says, who is not involved in the Republican Party in the very least bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
She thinks they're awful.
Yeah. Okay, let's do some news.
Okay.
That's fun though. I'm glad you're okay. I had to walk into the comic book shop with my hand on my head to keep my hat from flying away.
Yeah.
And you know, so that to me, that's a pretty windy day.
I had free for a minute. Because it got really bad for a second and I'm like, okay, I have to stop because my asthma and it's wind and we were walking
awful.
To the Rock Museum. So
yeah, I had to drive my wife. We had to drive down to South Jordan for my wife's birthday dinner. And basically it was a blizzard.
Yep.
A north blowing blizzard. So, you know, I'm driving into the wind, into the snow hitting me. My windshield wipers were barely cutting it. My car defroster was not doing a damn thing. And so I literally had my bandana out and I kept wiping my windscreen. every few miles because I'm like, I can't see again. It was just very stressful, but we got there, we had a great dinner and everything, but yeah, it was just, it's like, and then as we leave, of course, the storm had blown through, so we were done, but it would have to, I'm like, it's gonna blow through as I'm driving because fuck me, that's why. Yeah,
obviously. I did drive home on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
without glasses. My friend didn't drive because he was kind of being a little bitch.
Oh.
But without glasses. And you know how you hit that one place, like, on the way home from Vegas where it's, like, before Nephi, where it's pitch black?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine that in a very snowy, blizzardy setting.
Yeah, mm-hmm. With no glasses.
Like, gonna fucking die. That's how I felt. Like, my neck hurt for a week, like, all week, because I thought it was so tense from trying to, like, navigate.
You're just, like, yeah, just, oh, yeah, fuck.
Yeah, I think we've all done that.
Yep.
Never again. I will fly.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, gang. Independent presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. this week offered up a wild defense of his association with, killed himself sex offender Jeffrey Epstein.
Big quotes on killed himself.
Yeah. Kennedy has previously said that he was on Epstein's private plane twice. In an interview on the Flagrant podcast released last Wednesday, Kennedy admitted that Epstein was hardly the only notorious character he hung out with. All right, you guys ready? I'm going to do my RFK Jr.
All right.
I'm in New York for most of my life. You run into everybody in New York. I mean, I knew Harvey Weinstein. I knew Roger Ailes. I knew O.J. Simpson came to my house. Bill Cosby came to my house.
That was pretty good, Jr., wasn't it?
That was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kennedy, though, wasn't bragging about knowing these individuals or trying to defend any of them. He says, you don't know these people are swamp creatures until all this stuff comes out. I don't know. Maybe the stewardesses that all had yet to get their driver's licenses on the airplane were partially a trigger, Robert Jr. But then again, he also spoke on being on Donald Trump's plane. So, yeah.
Yeah, I did see creepiness immediately, Kennedy said of Epstein.
Oh, was it him?
And you went on his plane twice to his island.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, well, you need an island visit. You need an island visit.
Yeah. So you guys remember Carrie Lake of Arizona?
Talking about her.
Yeah. She,
in Vegas.
Yeah. She, oh, yeah? That's good.
Yeah, they were making, someone was making my, out of Phoenix or like Utah senators or something, and I'm like, how's Carrie Lake?
She still thinks she's the governor.
Yeah.
Yep.
But the failed Arizona gubernatorial candidate made a post on X, formerly Twitter, mocking Nikki Haley's real name.
Mm-hmm.
Nimrata.
Sorry.
It's you're thinking Nimrod. I get it.
Yeah.
Yep. But, yeah, Nikki, on this one, yes. Is it racist? Yes. Was she doing it for racist reasons? Yes. Absolutely. Carrie Lake was doing it for racist reasons. Is it super racist? No, because Nikki Haley does it for racist reasons, too. That's why she goes by Nikki instead of Nimrata. Because she's also racist against herself. She's mm-hmm. like, I can't be a good Republican named Nimrata. I'll change my name to Nikki. I'm surprised she hasn't fucking bleached her hair. I'll bet there's pictures. I'll bet there's fucking pictures.
There's a failed bleach job in her life. Yes, there is.
And bangs. I'm sure at some point she did bangs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Some ladies pick. They think carry bangs. I don't mm-hmm. think that Nikki Haley's one of them.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
We all go through our faces.
It JC, is what it is, right?
Yeah, JC and I once had a contest to see who could grow their bangs the longest.
I have very short blonde hair, gray hair right now. And I've had black hair for 22 years of my life.
Yeah.
So, yeah, mm-hmm. we all go through faces.
There are faces. Yeah. Anyway, we're going to talk about Carrie Lake again in just a minute. Hey, guess what? It's time to talk about Carrie Lake again. So Carrie Lake went after the McCain family.
Oh, no.
And now, as she's trying to walk back some of the damage she's done, Meghan McCain is basically telling Carrie Lake to go fuck herself.
Good.
As a campaign to represent Arizona in the U.S. Senate heats up, Carrie Lake's tone and strategy are shifting considerably. A change she has suggested is in the interest of getting things done. Quote,
I'd love nothing more than to buy.
Okay, I'm just funny. quote, I'd love nothing more than to buy you a beer, a coffee, or lunch and pick your brains about how we can work together to straighten our state. She wrote Wednesday in a public post to Meghan McCain. My team is sending you my contact info. If you're willing to meet, it would mean a lot to me. She said and continued, I think if John McCain, who had a great sense of humor, would have heard it, he would have laughed. That was from Carrie Lake, who thinks that John McCain would find her taking a shit on his family funny.
Yeah.
Meghan McCain said, quote, Carrie Lake is trying to walk back her continued attacks on my dad and family and all of his loyal supporters after telling them to get the hell out. I guess she realized she can't become a senator without us. We see you for who you are and are repulsed by it. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, Meghan McCain makes me go, aw.
Do you guys remember when she tweeted about New York and COVID? My neighborhood is in Manhattan is eviscerated and looks like a war zone.
Yep.
And then some girl's like, Meghan, we live in the same building.
Everything's fine. Yeah. Yeah. No, I still remember. Okay, so Meghan McCain is problematic for me because she is very smart, but obviously she believes dipshit stuff. It can happen. It can happen. You know, all the other astronomers threw Galileo under the bus. I'm just saying. So, because they didn't want to get in trouble with the church. So I remember when Meghan McCain posted a picture on Twitter of her literally just looking hot. She had mega cleavage and was wearing a tank top on an airplane and something. And she's just like, felt cute, might delete it or something like that. And conservatives went ape shit. And I'm like, hey, she just feels good about herself. Shut the fuck up. Leave her alone. And then like the next week on The View, she said something is anti-African-American or something. And I was like, God damn it, Meghan. I stood up for you and your boobs. I have been betrayed. Yeah. And then North Carolina just nominated Mark Robinson, who, and I quote, said, I absolutely want to go back to the America where women couldn't vote.
My brother in Christ, you couldn't either.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't know. What to...
during the event, Robinson, who was running for lieutenant governor at the time, recalled someone recently asking conservative activist Candace Owens to pick which version of America would make America great again. Quote, one where black people were swinging from cheap trees or the one where women weren't allowed to vote. Robinson said he would definitely go back to the days when women weren't allowed to vote. Quote, yes, quote, because in those days we had people who fought for real societal change and they were called Republicans, end quote. No, idiot. Those are the guys that were hanging your people from the trees. All they did was change party affiliations.
That's it. Here's the best part. That event was a Republican event hosted by the Republican women of Pitt County. So it's a women. It was a women's only event, and he's up there going, "I want to go back to when women couldn't vote."
And the women probably fuck yeah, dude, because you're standing against racism because you don't want to go back to when you're hanging in trees.
There was two or three of them back there. I'm sure just going, "Are we clapping for this?"
Yes. Hi.
Yeah, the room full of women was quiet as he spoke.
That's how any he is with women.
So let's read some quotes. Let's read some quotes from Mark Robinson. Let's see this one here. Quote, the only thing worse than a woman who doesn't know her place is a man who doesn't know his. He claimed that Satan himself is using lesbianism and feminism to destroy traditional families.
Word.
Quote, if blacks should stand up against racism and women should stand up against sexism, shouldn't men stand up against feminism? Okay. Okay. Criticized women who breastfeed in public, calling them shameless attention hogs. Oh. More of Robinson's attacks on women, including calling them whores, witches, rejected drag queens. There's also his record of quoting Adolf Hitler, fanning Islamophobia, saying trans people should be arrested for using bathrooms, casting doubts on the Holocaust, and spreading countless dangerous conspiracy theories. Jesus.
What a piece of work. Is he best friends with Clarence Thompson?
With Clarence Thomas?
With Clarence Thomas?
I don't know. Thomas doesn't say a lot. He just takes money and rules poorly.
Wouldn't mind taking away, like, segregated marriage, though.
That's fair.
Because he hates his wife.
It's coming. All right. Let's take another little break. And we get back on the other side. I just have some just regular old political news. We're going to talk about the State of the Union. Yeah. We're going to talk about the State of the Union rebuttal, whatever the fuck that was.
In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Yeah. So if you'll just hang in there for a couple of minutes, we'll be right back. That was my Katie Britt. That was pretty good. Huh?
That was a good Katie Britt.
Yeah. Blood on your hands.
When it comes to a gun suicide attempt, all it takes is a moment.
My son, Ricky, took his life by the use of a firearm. It broke me, and I contemplated suicide. My grandson, I was going to have to be here for him. I still own my firearm. I keep it in a safe because I want to keep my grandson and myself safe.
Store your guns locked, unloaded, and away from ammo. Hear more safe stories at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by Brady and the Ad Council.
This week on the world's greatest comic book podcast, we remember Mark Dodson, Steve Lawrence, and Akira Toriyama. Gina Carano says Elon Musk is like Batman.
And then things get weird.
So weird.
In moving pictures, Ming-Na Wen will be in the new Karate Kid movie. The Rust Armorer was found guilty.
This is the way.
The Last Airbender has been renewed, and Dune Messiah is promised.
I promise to be back before 2,000 years have passed.
In comics, a show favorite will be writing G.I. Joe Scarlet. Last Ronin 2 is sold out. My Adventures of Superman, My Adventures with Superman is getting a comic tie-in. We review The Batman First Night, Ms. Marvel Mutant Menace, Spider-Man Gang War, and Spectacular Spider-Men. All that and Monsterverse. Face Front, True Believers, it's the world's greatest comic book podcast, available Tuesdays on thecomicbookpodcast.com and almost everywhere you can find podcasts.
At least this month, we'll know better next month. Hey, did you guys hear how the hipster burned his mouth?
No.
He drank his coffee before it was cool. Say that again.
This was a good State of the Union.
It was fun, like, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I loved watching Mike Johnson. Because he, like, his eyes dramatically one time, and the rest of the time, he's, like, kind of sitting there like, oh, fuck. He's right, though.
Nods. The subtle nods every time he would, every time Biden would say something good, it was like he'd give the subtle nod. I'm like, dude, and stop agreeing.
You can see his arms clapping under the table.
Yep.
Like, I could see it. Like his arms will move and when everybody would clap, it's like.
He wouldn't look at Biden.
Yeah.
For the most part during that whole thing, he just was looking past him over to Biden's left his left. Mm-hmm. And somebody said something about what's Biden got on his back? Pornhub? Oh, man. And then you had Marjorie Taylor Greene breaking the House rules by showing up not only in campaign gear, but basically breaking dress code.
Yep.
So she broke two House rules wearing that stupid little outfit.
There was somebody else.
2020, by the way, like she's too cheap to buy a 2024 MAGA hat.
She doesn't believe in the 2024 campaign, just the 2021. As far as she's concerned, the 2020 campaign won, you know, was successful, and we just, you know, we.
Well, then she should support having him removed from the ballot because he's already a two-termer.
Exactly.
If he won 2020, then his term is almost over. He just didn't show up for it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was another guy in a t-shirt and then a suit jacket, and he was a senator. I can't remember what his t-shirt said. It was some...
Oh, it was the Never Surrender Trump shirt.
Yeah, it was the Never Surrender Trump shirt.
The picture of Trump surrendering to the cops.
Yeah.
What did that guy yell?
What's that?
Some guy started yelling something and then got kicked out.
Oh, like, I don't know.
He was up in the gallery, so I don't know who he was. He wouldn't have been a congressman or a senator.
Yeah, but he like got kicked out, and I'm like, what is he saying? I'm so nosy.
I want to know what he said. I couldn't understand him.
For 68 minutes in the House chamber, Biden goaded Republicans on over their policies on immigration, taxes, and more, inviting call and response banter with fellow Democrats that seemed to relish the fight. I know I may not look like it, but I've been around a while, Biden said. And when you get to be my age, certain things become clearer than before. Noting he was born during World War II and came of political age during the upheaval in the 60s, Biden declared, "My lifetime has taught me to embrace freedom and democracy, a future based on the core values that have defined America. Honesty, decency, dignity, equality, to respect everyone, to give everyone a fair shot. To give hate no safe harbor." Now, some people my age see a different story, an American story of resentment, revenge, and retribution. That's not me. I know it's not you, Joe. You used to send me Christmas cards because you're the guy. what a fun speech.
Yeah.
And he was taking his victory lap for selling all of his legislative accomplishments, including funding to bolster manufacturing of computer chips nationwide, Biden veered from his prepared script to take a dig at Republicans who voted against the policies, but nonetheless take credit for them back home. Quote, "If any of you don't want that money in your districts, just let me know."
Right.
Yeah, it was a good speech.
It was a good speech. He got some digs in on the, you know, direct, you know, he was doing that back and forth with Republicans a couple times. He did so well last time. That was good.
And it wasn't like overly bipartisan like it usually is. Like what they try.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was this is who I am and this is what I'm running against. It was simple. I mean, you know, and he did it simply and he did it energetically. And in what kind of a world is the guy in cognitive decline when the next day you have to bitch that he's got too much energy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's not fitting your narrative, so you Republicans are going to get pissy about the fact that he wasn't sleepy on stage. He was actually in the fucking room dunking on you idiots all fucking night. Are you kidding me? I mean, it's frustrating.
I'm more sleepy than him.
Oh, and absolutely.
My only complaint was when he started coughing, I'm like, Joe, there's a glass of water to your right. Just go, when they're giving you one of those 5,000 standing ovations, just reach down, take a drink. I wish you would.
Do it with one hand. Show us what a tough guy you are.
Exactly. Not two.
My only complaint was when he said an illegal.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he walked that back the next day and he apologized for it. He's like, you know what? It's the word we used at my age, and I shouldn't have done it, and I apologize.
Mm-hmm. It's like, that was just like something he had to take care of at that moment to shut her the fuck up.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Unscripted moments can be the things that throw you off. I mean, particularly with his condition and everything else, it's like, yeah, you shouldn't go off script, but she was not going to shut up.
Right. So the GOP.
I like how she foisted the button on him, and he was like, "Yeah, I'm going to say your name. Where's that button so I can remember her name?"
Yeah, this sucks. He says, "Well, we're going to talk about more than that." Mm-hmm. But yeah, as Biden ran through endorsements by conservative groups of the legislation, some of the audience started to boo and interject, and Biden shot back, "I know you know how to read." Which I thought was giving them a lot.
Yep.
Proud of Lauren Boebert and Matt Gaetz for shutting the fuck up the whole time. Good job, Mike Johnson, for getting your kids in a group to talk to him about poor behavior.
What do you suppose Lauren Boebert's mouth was doing to keep her quiet?
Matt Gaetz, she's too old.
Oh, you painted a picture? Oh, it's dancing in my head. Oh, that's bad. Oh, I need brain bleach. So after the State of the Union address, Republicans broke into the home of a Stepford wife, I guess.
I think so. That's what it had to be.
They put her in the kitchen because that's where Republican women apparently belong.
Totally on brand.
Yeah. And then had her, I don't know, she didn't slate. They must have done that before they went live. But You acting kids are going to think that was fucking hilarious.
Yes.
And so she didn't slate. And then they start going and to paraphrase Scarlett Johansson doing it on the cold open of Saturday Night Live, you know, she just started to audition for Scary Neighbor. Now, if you guys haven't caught Scarlett Johansson doing Katie Britt, it was pretty good.
It would have been funny if they just had her read verbatim.
Oh, God, yeah. And just overacted.
Oh, my God. And just overacted it, yeah.
Didn't even have to do anything. Just have Scarlett Johansson verbatim in this horrible-looking kitchen from, like, the early, like, 2000s, because that was the decor back then, which is, like, brown-on-brown tile.
Yep.
Well, so, she did the whole, when you're, the people around the kitchen table, Joe Biden is such an elite, and I'm like, are you stealing from his 2020 election campaign, where he said our concern is what people around the kitchen table are talking about? Obama said that. That's a Democrat thing, Katie. And
now you're
trying to appropriate it. Like the Republicans are the party of the people, of the common man. The fuck you are.
The common man can take whatever she wants. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So a story about sex trafficking. And a sex trafficking victim shared by Katie Britt, who I don't know if you guys knew this or not, is an actual fucking senator from Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah, weird, huh? In her bizarre State of the Union rebuttal, is coming under fire for being dishonest. It was used to attack Joe Biden's, quote, border policies, end quote. Former Associated Press reporter Jonathan Katz explained how his lingering questions over the anecdote led him to the conclusion that Britt had, quote, lied about something really horrific and really important, end quote. The actual content of the story is heart-wrenching. As Britt told it, she traveled to Texas just after taking office last year and spoke to a woman who shared her story. Quote, she had been sex trafficked by the cartel starting at age 12. She went on to outline horrific acts of sexual violence that the woman said she endured as a child. Quote, we wouldn't be okay with this happening in a third world country. Yeah, you are. You keep sending people that are running away from this back to those countries.
You're totally okay with it.
So there's line number one. This is the United States of America. And it is past time, in my opinion, that we start acting like it. President Biden's border policies are a disgrace. The crisis is despicable. Okay. There are more problems with Britt's framing of the story, though. She didn't name the abuse survivor in her State of the Union rebuttal directly, but Britt's communications director, Sean Ross, confirmed to the Washington Post that the story was about an activist named Carla Jacinto Romero. So while Britt made it seem like it was an example of recent lawlessness caused by Biden policies, the abuse Romero endured happened 20 years ago, when George W. Bush was president.
Yep.
So how is this Biden's fault? It is not.
Are you sure? Because he's president and he controls everything.
Like space and time?
And he loves cartels. Loves cartels. He tells me all the time.
Well, yeah, I mean, her very next thing was to blame the inflation and the deficit on Biden. And I'm like, thought that was you guys.
I can mathematically prove it was those guys, and I can't do math.
I could prove it was you guys. And yet she's, that was the, like, the very next thing she said after this sex trafficking thing was, and the economy's bad because of Biden. I'm like, isn't it interesting when it's the Democratic response to a Republican president, it's usually like, okay, here's all the things the president said that were lies, and this is what's true. And then when it's the Republican response to a Democratic president, it's like, no, no, he's to blame, not us. Yeah.
We didn't do it.
They literally didn't do anything. So.
No. Well, not this year.
Yeah. And again, you know, I mean, I realize it's a prepared speech, but after Biden just stood there for more than an hour throwing smart-ass heckler comments, doing stage work, basically, you know, with the Republicans for an hour and 10 minutes. Then she pops off. He's old and slow. He's old and slow. He's a dithering politician. It's like, shut up. We just watched him for an hour and a half fucking tap dance better than Al Jolson, for fuck's sake. Look at him go. Okay. International news. I should have a sounder for this because it's international news, but France has become the only country to explicitly guarantee abortion as a constitutional right. The only country.
For it.
There you go. French lawmakers on Monday overwhelmingly approved a bill to enshrine abortion rights in France's constitution, making it the only country to explicitly guarantee a woman's right to voluntarily terminate a pregnancy. Historic move was proposed by President Emmanuel Macron, the man who every time I hear his name makes me want a cookie, as a way to prevent this kind of rollback of abortion rights seen in the United States in recent years. And the vote during the special joint session of France's parliament drew a long-standing ovation among lawmakers. Ho-ho! Baguette! Croissant! There you go. Mwah!
Chef's
kiss. Yeah, the measure was approved 780 to 72. If that's
really
not an overwhelming...
To be 72.
Yeah, if that's not an overwhelming number, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm.
Many female legislators in the hall smiled broadly as they cheered, while the small group of protesters stood outside the joint session, all pissy pants and mad.
Yes, we'll get this overturned one day.
I didn't get what I wanted, and that was complete control over the autonomy of a woman. As I was saying, Comicsgate is real. So, I'm sorry, wrong show. So, so way to go, France.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do. It's a long-ass article. You guys should pop over to theleftshow.com and take a look at it right after you give to our annual fundraiser.
Mm-hmm.
So, this is a weird one. And I don't know why I'm finishing on it. I should have done this one first. But two Senate Democrats have rescinded their support for over $1 million of federal funding for a Philadelphia LGBTQ center after pressure from the right-wing group Libs of TikTok.
Okay.
No. It gets worse.
I know the Libs of TikTok.
Oh, no. This gets worse when you find out who the senators are.
Mm-hmm.
It's John Fetterman and Bob Casey.
No.
Yeah, they had previously pushed for the funding to go towards expanding and renovating the William Way LGBTQ Community Center, which offers counseling, senior services, and arts programming. Mm-hmm. So Libs of TikTok are like, they do drag shows there. I am taking the next six dumbass paragraphs and condensing them, at which point they did a bondage show there. So what?
Well, they were having sex there.
No.
They were not.
No.
Yeah.
No, they were simulating sex there. But still, it doesn't matter. Who gives a shit? You know? It's a show. It's a fucking show. And the fact that fucking Fetterman and Casey, Fetterman says it was a perfunctionary letter issued by his staff. He was not a part of that and don't support that. In a later statement from his office, Senator maintained that it was a staff decision, but explained that his office believed that a bipartisan negotiators would end up stripping the funding anyhow and took a shot at Democratic Senate leadership. saying, unfortunately, at the 11th hour, my staff was made aware that funding for William Way, which was in the bill because they championed it, would not pass the fiscal year 24 appropriations process. The choice was either to pull it or watch it get stripped out, attacked by Republicans, and ultimately killed. I'm new here, but I wasn't aware that Democratic values and priorities are dictated by libs of TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Whereas, which is how you would defend it when you when they start to try to take it out of the bill.
Yeah. So do me a favor. Stick it in somewhere else.
Yeah. Put it back in.
Yeah.
Or stick it somewhere. Yeah.
Find somewhere to stick it. All right, we're at the end. Let's see. I've already talked to you guys about the fundraiser, which is super important, more important than I really give it weight. I'm probably going to beg next week. This week's not my week for begging. Next week I beg. On top of that, we're about to go and do the Patreon show. The Patreon show, every week that we record, we post content behind the paywall at Patreon at patreon.com/defenmedia, D-E-F-E-N media. And that's where you can get extra content for The Left Show, for the world's greatest comic book podcast, for I Told You So, and the new shows that are ramping up. Just waiting for me to be in a space where we can record them. That's that's what's slowing everything down. So with that said, first, JC, thanks for being on again.
Always.
Always a delight. Taylor, so glad you survived your scooter rally.
Thank you. I'm glad I did also. Did not blow away.
I'm sorry about your glasses and your jewelry.
That was weird.
It's very
weird. And credit cards came flying out of my pockets, too. Like, because I had them in a little pocket.
Yeah.
Mm.
Two credit cards also.
Did you get them back?
No, they fucking flew.
Yikes.
Yeah, it was a funny day. It was really windy.
Because I did. I had, 2 weeks ago now, I had identity theft.
Oh, yeah.
And so I spent all that goddamn day between being on the phone and going to the bank. You know? So I can't just all of the things, getting your prescription done, getting a couple of credit cards, getting new jewelry. Yeah. New jewelry is always weird.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I went to the dentist, and they made me pull my earrings out, and I was just convinced I was going to lose them, and I'm like, fuck, now I got to go buy new earrings. And I don't like doing that. I don't like buying new jewelry.
That's weird.
Yeah, they needed me to take them out for the x-ray. So, it was weird. I didn't like it. I didn't like it at all. Anyway, anything else, guys?
Nope. I think that's it.
All right.
Live the dream.
What's that?
Let's all just find jobs.
Okay. I'm with you there. So with that said, let's all do what the British lady says.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/defenmedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.